Chapter 20. Prax, Princus Praxa. The skylight shattered. Zerbrin looked up, slowly, torturously, time stretching elastically into glittering stillness as his superhuman perceptions processed the sudden sensory overload. A million bladed reflections of himself looked out in all directions. Floodlights glared white, beaten into slices by the rotating wings of a hovering aircraft. He could hear the thump of its engines, suspended in time as its downwash held it in the air. Shards of glass, the thickness of his hand, tumbled. He saw it all. The ceiling had not been shattered evenly. 12 discrete points of impact penetrated it, huge black-armored bodies punching through the skylight and trailing glass like bullets fired into water. He began to shift his aim upwards, his brain gunning towards full speed. "Clear!" cried a vox fragment as glass cascaded over the manufactory floor. Tosk and Anteel pulled into the cover of an overhead crawlway. Galen hit the ground. Still tracking his aim skywards, Zerberin dropped to his haunches and covered his head with his arms. Glass broke against his battle plate like 1,000 blades. The weight of it pushed him down. His ears filled with a crystalline rush, and he could see nothing but fragmented light and edges. He glimpsed Brother Carver. The veteran was bent backwards and backing up, squaring his chest to the onslaught to shield the volatile Promethean tanks on his shoulders. Zerberin could do nothing but yell an unheard warning into his vox speed as a shard of reinforced glass the size of a rhino's troop hatch came blade down through the faceplate of the Space Marine's helm and staked him to the ground. Zerberin rolled, glass caltrops disintegrating, just as a pair of armored boots crunched down where he had been. It was an orc, 3 meters tall and almost as broad, clad in molded black armor of some dense, energy-deflecting ceramic. Its shovel face and clawed hands were painted in black stripes. The metal parts of its multi-barreled custom shooter had been rubbed in soot. Even its tusks were darkened. It punched the bright red release buckle of the line harness it was wearing, cables whipping up towards the broken ceiling, then leveled its weapon in one brute fist. Zerberin did likewise. Too slow. The orc's upper body vanished in a splatter of green vapor. An Iron Warrior's Terminator pumped a torrent of combi-bolter abuse through its remains, turning ponderously as solid rounds spanked off his baroque battle plate. "Brother Captain! The door!" With a thunderous crash of spilling drums, the metal door from the alley shoved back the barricade, and orcs, in spiked black and white armor, pushed through. The lead orc roared, slugger spitting out lead even as it kicked aside a barrel. Zerberin put a bolt round between its eyes. Anteel and Galen accounted for a further one each. Tosk hosed the entryway with fire, but the orcs charged into it, unloading their bulk magazines as they came. What would he not sacrifice for Carver's heavy flamer right now? Apothecary Rayok stood by the veteran's remains, his Narthesium's sampler deep into his brother's gorget soft seals and the progenoid sacs in his throat. Offhand, he blasted one of the orc drop troops off its feet with a bolt round in the gut. It would take a long time for a wound like that to kill an orc. Zerberin suspected that the apothecary knew that. "Exemplars to your duty!" Zerberin roared, bolt pistol executing one bloody headshot at a time. "We are the wall that stands forever!" A blast of rubble buried whatever reply he might have received. An articulated wrecking arm smashed through the street-side wall, the orc dreadnought Zerberin had seen outside of the terminus station, stamping itself a bigger hole. It resembled a uranium waste drum painted with yellow and black chevrons. Its other arm was fitted with a screaming buzzsaw, burning promethium dribbling from a dangerously crowded platform of grenade launchers and flamer weaponry. A bestial cry boomed from its speakers as it swung out its wrecker arm to knock in what was left of the wall. In a growl of engines, a refurbished Salamander command tank climbed the rubbled wall and slammed into its glacis suspension on the manufactory floor. Glass splinters chinked across the floor or simply exploded under its mass. It growled menacingly, Heaving with excess engine power, hull-mounted heavy bolter grinding about to maximize its threat angles. Its original Dust Bowl camouflage had been patchily done over in red, a pair of crossed axes painted onto the side. A troop compartment that should have housed a full forward command squad of Praxian militia was filled by a single enormous orc. Its armor was blood red, massive plates swollen around a gnarled head, wired into some kind of vox apparatus. Zerberin ejected his clip and slammed in a fresh one containing armor-piercing vengeance rounds. "Kill the bloody axes first," Bryce had said. With an alien roar, the big orc boss took the firing toggle of the salamander's pintle-mounted storm bolter and blazed at the Terminators as the vehicle beneath it filled the air with fumes. The cry was answered by something more palatable, but just barely. They were human mouths. Soldiers in what looked like local militia fatigues, with crossed axes daubed over their flak vests and unit identifiers branded into their shaven heads, charged over the broken wall after their tank. Lasfire lashed the rumbling production line and by sheer volume forced the Fist's exemplar into cover. A lasbolt scorched Galen's faceplate and sent him stumbling behind a conveyor. Tosk moved protectively in front of his brother, took aim at the salamander, and with a furious blast of white heat, unleashed the single-shot plasma charge of his combi weapon. The crackling discharge struck under the light tank's armor skirt and shredded its tracks. Links flapping, it slewed off to one side and crashed into a giant steel hopper that fed one part of the conveyor network. The mistreated hopper split up the side and spewed thousands of liters of partially cleaned bone fragments and flesh scraps over the revving tank. Rayok growled some choice words of approval. Zerberin did not register them. In his horror, no, in the white heat of his fury, he had not taken a shot since the arrival of the human troops. More were running in behind the wreck. Battalion strength, maybe more. They had no hair, no teeth, and their bodies marked with brands and maltreatment. This was humanity's fate. This was why the orcs waited for Terra's surrender rather than simply leveling the world as they had Adamantua, Idolica, and 1,000 others. They did not want another conquest. They wanted a client race. A trillion times a trillion, the citizens of the Imperium were numberless beyond count. As individuals, they were negligible, to a certain mindset, disposable even, but as a whole, they were humanity. They were the gene seed of Holy Terra, where he dwelt in his incorruptible glory. Unbidden, the image filled his mind of the Xenos breaking Eternity Gate, sweeping through the Sanctum Imperialis, and hauling the Emperor from his golden throne. No! No! He would virus-bomb every last world more than a week from Terra if that was what it took to end this. He would do it personally. With a wordless snarl, he advanced into the Lazstorm, flipping his pistol's shot selector to rapid fire and mowing armor-piercing rounds through the lightly armored troopers. Troopers? Traitors. The outcome was bloody overkill and better than they deserved. Around him, meanwhile, the orcs' pincers closed. Tosk and Anteel stood back to back, rocks of rugged grey where reds, yellows and blacks and whites crashed over and with exemplar stubbornness refused to give ground. Inhuman voices bellowed, servos screamed, bolters were abandoned now in favour of knives and fists. Rayok pulled Galen to his feet. The latter shook a jam from his bolter, then emptied what was left of the clip into the onrushing horde. The first to reach him went down with a bolt gun smashed through the side of its skull, but after that there were too many mobbing in to be sure what was being done to whom. The Battle Brothers' rune in Zerberin's visor display went dark. Only the Iron Warriors were still firing. The Terminators were mobile firebases, arms outstretched, wrist-mounted combi bolters kicking out a remorseless torrent of firepower, whether there was an orc in front of their tusked helms or not. A jet of flame flooded over the Terminators, burning promethium, lighting the traitor space marines up like devils as the orc's dreadnought stomped towards them. Beating a gold-armored orc into the ground with a downward smash of his hammer, Zerberin shoulder-crushed through the mob of traitor auxiliaries to peel off three shots into the advancing dreadnought. Mass-reactive rounds splashed across a barrier of rigid blue force, an inch above the walker's yellow and black plate. His heart sank. A void shield. How could something that size generate the power to sustain a void shield? He was dully aware of the low-caliber hits stinging his armor. System alerts rather than true pain. His adrenal glands were working too hard to let him feel that. His multi-lung had taken over long ago, pumping furiously to purge the acidity from his muscles. The orcs had taken his world from him. He would rather be damned than let the orcs take this one too. But, using his battle instinct and survival, he allowed himself to consider that there might be no victory. The orcs were too overwhelming, too powerful, their advantages too great even for the Adeptus Astartes to overcome. A massive fireball rippled over the ruptured skylight. A burst of fire from a quad-linked heavy bolter cut in from a high angle with a sound like a loose chain being mechanically spun around a crank. The orc's copter peeled open and finally exploded, showering the packed melee with metallic debris. The dull grey wedge of a Thunderhawk gunship banked right and over to skirt the fireball, then descended hard towards the skylight with autocannon fire from some neighbouring building lighting its aerofoil. Zerberin's Voxspeed crackled.
Leonis, first captain piloting Penitence, we picked up something you left behind.
Gold icons blinked into being on Zerberin's visor display as Sergeant Columba led the charge down the Thunderhawk's troop hatch. The veteran jumped, landing two-footed in a howl of suspensers, with his chainsword buried deep into an orc's shoulder and spraying the contents of its chest over his plastron. He pivoted on the spot. A kick delivered on the underside of his boot sent a fighter in black and white jags cannoning through two more. Donbas, Bohun, Nalis, and Tarsus thumped down around him, a hail of hellgun fire clearing space for them to work. Militarum Tempestus Scions pounded along the upper-level catwalks, coming down roof-access ladders, pumping round after round of hotshot las into the charging greenskins. Firing on the move, with a hell pistol in each hand, Major Bryce took his own advice, cutting through the bloody axes and their human line troops. The expression twisting his burned face was wrathful. Zerberin understood the man all too well. Brother Donbus's heavy bolter spoke with fury. Not having witnessed what Zerberin had a moment before, the veteran brother identified the most prominent threat and opened up on the dreadnought. The air became thunder. Shell casings showered the ground with gold. The orc walker's void shield rippled and flared. Massive force and equally massive counterforce waging full-spectrum warfare across its cylindrical frame. The dreadnought abandoned the Terminators and came about. It extended its saw arm and, with a sound like a long tube swallowing a grenade, launched a pair of sizzling stick bombs towards Columba's combat squad. Donbas took both blasts full in the chest. His plastron held together but crumpled badly, sealant gel and hypercoagulants mingling in the ruptures. The impact savaged his faceplate, tearing his helm half away. The force lifted him up and slammed him into a machinery stack. The rest of the combat squad were peeled apart and thrown to the ground like toys. Inarticulate savagery raging from its speakers, the dreadnought stamped about and smashed a Terminator across the Manufactorum with a swing of its wrecker arm. The Iron Warrior crashed through the opposite wall. Loosened masonry tumbled in, a pyre licked with promethium flames. Zerberin cursed. An orc covered in snake tattoos went down with a headshot. Throat punch, headbutt, hammer shock blasted a hole. He strode into it, his armor coated with copper glaze, following his own tracer of automatic fire. A thick-shouldered orc in bloody axe colors shrugged off the bolt of fire and ignited the jump pack strapped to its back. It rocketed into the air on an arc of flaming liquid propellant and landed on a catwalk. The platform juddered under the sudden impact. Tempestus Scions fell away, firing point blank. The orc laughed it off and set to with its powered axe. The Scion's war gear was impressive, but it was not power armor. They were good, but they were not space marines. A second orc and then a third fired up jump packs to get in amongst the Scions. Bryce's increasingly hoarse orders got lost amongst the screams, the crack of bone and power discharge. Several of the armored troopers broke and risked the 4-meter drop to take their chances on the ground. It was no better. The surviving Terminators had hurt the dreadnought. It flailed, tangling its arms in chain pulls and surrounding itself with a swinging flock of lift cradles and pallets, crying molten iron. A Terminator stove in the dreadnought's midsection with a blow from his power fist. Even as he tore the crackling gauntlet free, an orc grappled him from behind. The brute dug its claws into the gorget soft seals and hauled back on the Iron Warrior's helmet. Fire sprayed from his gauntlet mount as he was drawn down and under. Brother Gallen traversed back out of the melee, slumped, riding the juddering conveyor deeper into the manufactory like a corpse into the crematoria. Reok was crouched over him. His binoptics were a fell green in the physoline haze, his bolt pistol an unwavering source of white light. From above, the roar of the Thunderhawk's turbofans momentarily muted the din. Glass fragments and shell casings blew out in ripples, tied to the cycling of its engine fans as it pulled away. A squadron of single-prop biplanes buzzed after it with flak spitting from their painted muzzles. Zerberin raised his hammer high, mentally dialing his gorget vox booster to maximum. Iron Warriors and Fist's Exemplar together. They had held long enough. Fall back! Everyone! Back to the gunship! A feral roar threatened to drown him out, and he looked back to the breached wall. An orc of truly monstrous scale, dark skin powdered with gold, crashed through the breached wall recently vacated by the dreadnought. Its muscular frame was bolted into an electric shock-yellow fighting suit, half again Zerberin's size. Pistons wheezed, valves screeched, black smoke pumped the air. At first glance, it was a typical orc build. Closer inspection, however, revealed a powered suit of surpassing artisanship. The plates were glossy and smooth, lines straight, edges perfect. Alternating power fields surrounded the orc with a sharp ozone burn. It flexed the arm-width digits of a 3-clawed power fist, autoloaders churning ammo belts through a massive 10-barreled combi weapon.
You die now!
Its bastardized low gothic was kicked out of its chest like air from a dead man's lungs, and Zerberin was too stunned to respond. It had spoken. Orcs did not speak. It started to run, beating aside a steel drum that then punched straight through a support stanchion and brought an empty section of crawlway crashing down. Zerberin ran to meet it. The ground between them trembled. He drew back his thunderhammer and roared his hatred. They clashed like bolt rounds hitting each other in midair. Zerberin's thunderhammer came down on the orc's thigh brace. The local power field blew out and the metal squealed under the stress. The orc steamrollered through him, snatching him up in its power claw and driving him through the light metal casing of a machine stack. With a roar like laughter, the orc dragged him from the wreckage and swung him about as though he were promethium jelly on the monster's claws. Even for his transhuman physiology, the G-force was tremendous. Black spots appeared in front of his eyes. He unloaded his pistol into the orc's upper torso power field until the hammer struck an empty chamber. He had no more. Screaming, he hawked up acid from his Betcher's gland and spat it into the orc's face. Green smoke sizzled from its jaw, but it did not feel it. The orc tightened its grip. The power fist's disruption field burned off his armor layer by layer. Ceramite creaked, crunched, split. He may have screamed again. He was no longer sure. He lashed out with his thunderhammer. He did not know what it hit, but it hit something. The orc bellowed in pain, and the next he knew, he was flying with all the power of that immense battle suit behind him. He passed through something metal-lined and hollow, hit the ground in a mangle of limbs and bounced once, twice, then skidded. His battle plate tore up sparks from the ferrocrete surface. He slammed up against a wall and flopped down. He saw Reok and Teal and a number of helmed scions, but the anonymously armored humans swam together. Then the 10-centimeter-thick plasteel doors that he had just slid through clamped onto his trailing greave.
"Reverse it!" growled Reok.
"I'm trying!"
came Antil's voice.
Zerberin grunted, willing his mind to stop spinning, and pulled on his trapped leg. It did not move. Dirty smoke was beginning to pour out of the door's pneumatics. From the other side of the door, there was a bellow of fury. The ground began to shake as something massive took a run-up. Rayok inserted the fierce muzzle of his Umbra pattern pistol into the gap between the doors. The apothecary fired on full auto, bolt pistol beating against the metal frames like a hammer drill. The doors continued to try and close. Zerberin gave one last roar, then spasmed back to the floor in agony, as the heavy plasteel cracked bonded ceramite and armoplas like steel pliers on a nut, and snapped his strengthened tibia roughly in two. His genhanced neurochemistry prevented the pain from disabling him, but it was still as close to intolerable as he had ever known. His conscious brain protectively shut itself down for a moment, his twin hearts racing to pump an endorphin rush of pain-suppressing hormones into his bloodstream. The doors stalled about half a leg width apart. Zerberin looked up, saw the sheathed chainsword hanging from Major Bryce's hip. The scion read his look, unhitching the blade and thumbing the power. Adamantium teeth revved hungrily.
"Forgive me, Lord. Hurry up and do it!"
Bryce hacked down. Zerberin roared as the motored blade ate through armor and flesh, and from there into bone. Arterial spray turned his battle plate red. Chipped bone rattled everyone's armor, flying through a pall of bitter ceramite dust. Vibrations tore through his bones. Tears welled up in the scion's eyes. The dust. The human lacked the strength to finish it. With a growl, Rayok pulled the man aside and stamped down on the back of the chainsword, driving it through Zerberin's leg until it stalled in the ferrocrete. Zerberin panted in release. His eyes blurred. His skin tingled with the effects of pain suppressants. The apothecary kicked Zerberin's severed foot out from between the jammed doors. They slammed together just as something huge bent them out of shape from the other side. Rayok dropped down beside him and bent immediately to work, using his Narthesium's plasma cutter to cauterize the amputation. Zerberin grunted. His physiology was adjusted to the higher pain threshold now, and he barely felt it. Brother Antil and the handful of scions crowded around them. That was all.
"Sergeant Columba? And the others?"
"Through the back wall, following Penitence's locator beacon," said Antil.
"We were cut off from them and so intended to follow..."
He glanced sideways at Bryce.
"Our cousins."
Zerberin nodded. He would have come to the same conclusion in his brother's place. It was reassuring. The door shuddered as something hit it. The discharging power of a disruption field caused it to fold in. Zerberin reached for his bolt pistol before remembering that it was empty.
"Faster, apothecary!"